Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the presence of God is dangerous. Sinful human beings may not presume to step into God's presence on their own terms. To do so is to invite death. At Mount Sinai, God solemnly instructed Moses to set bounds around the holy mountain. He said in Exodus chapter 19, as it's recorded, "Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death." Only the sons of Levi, if you remember from your Old Testament history, were allowed to actually touch the Ark of the Covenant. Others who touched it, you might have witnessed this in Indiana Jones' Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? Anybody who touched it would die. Because the Ark of the Covenant was the manifestation of God's holy presence. And sin cannot coexist with God's glory. It just can't. The Holy of Holies, the most holy place that was literally off limits to all people except the high priest. And he could enter into that Holy of Holies but once a year. Once a year on the Day of Atonement. And then only with the sacrificial blood in order to cover his own sins as well as the sins of the people that he represented. The Old Testament makes it perfectly clear that God's presence is dangerous for those who are unclean, for those who are polluted by sin. However, the understanding of God's dangerous presence is not limited to the Old Testament. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, the Old Testament, that was bad, dangerous stuff, especially when it came to sinners and God. But then came the New Testament, and everything was happy and fancy and free. But it doesn't work quite like that. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes of those who have become guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord by eating and drinking it in an unworthy manner. He goes on to say, "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and some have died." And one of the reasons for the biblical practice of closed communion is to prevent those who are unprepared from receiving the Lord's body and blood to their detriment. Dr. John Kleinig, he writes in his book, Sharing in God's Holiness. He says, God's holiness can also have a detrimental effect on those who come into wrong contact with his holy things and thereby desecrate his holy name. So contact with God is fraught with peril in the Old Testament. For a person could just as easily incur God's wrath as his grace. The ordinary Israelite could theoretically incur his wrath in one of two ways. By bringing impurity into God's presence and so defiling what was clean, or else by desecrating something which was holy, which is the worst possible offense against God. So basically, God is not accessible to people who are made unclean by sin. It's pretty simple. You're dirty with sin. You can't go before God. End of story. In that instance, to sinners, God's presence means wrath and judgment. To sinners, God's presence means death and destruction. Now, Now, in a book called God in the Wastelands, written by a man named David Wells, he complains that much of contemporary Christianity has reduced God to weightlessness. That is to say, that it is assumed that God is our buddy, who, he would never judge us, he would never condemn us. It is assumed that God exists to make life tranquil, that God exists in order to make our life satisfying. And so Wells writes, we imagine that for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Romans 8. That all things will work together for their satisfaction and inner tranquility of their lives. Doesn't that sound better? Ooh, maybe. But such is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is dangerous. He is. It is not safe for sinners to be in the presence of the God of the Bible. Now, I see some of you scowling at me. Good. Because now I get to the good part. How many of you have ever read C.S. Lewis' book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Those of you who have not, shame on you. Okay? Now, if you didn't read the book, how many of you watched the movie? Those of you who didn't read the book, watch the movie. Is that one? Okay. The best illustration comes from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe in C.S. Lewis' children's book. In the story, Mrs. Beaver is preparing the children to meet the great lion, Aslan. Okay? And Susan, who is one of the little children, she says, is Aslan quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. And Mrs. Beaver replies, that you will, dearie, and make no mistake. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly. And Lucy chimes in. She says, then he isn't safe? Of course he isn't safe, Mrs. Beaver says. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. God isn't safe for the sinner. But God is good. And in that goodness, God has provided us with safe access to his gracious presence in the flesh and blood of his Son. In fact, the text that we have in Hebrews this evening that we read, it says that we have boldness to enter the holiest place. That is, the inner sanctuary where only the high priest was permitted to go on Yom Kippur. And the high priest entered into that holy of holies with the blood of bulls and goats, right? And that only once a year. But we get to enter into the holiest place, the place of God's presence, by the flesh and blood of his Son Jesus. The high priest stepped behind the veil, the curtain, into the presence of God with the blood of the sacrifice. Jesus established our passageway to God in his own flesh by his precious blood. His. We are sprinkled, if you will, and made holy so that we can stand before the living and holy God. And then we are given this gracious access to God in something that's very simple that we witness every Lord's Day right here in this place. On our Lord's Day, he invites us to come to his table, to his supper, And he gives us the flesh of his son and the blood of his son to eat and to drink. Not as if we are some kind of cannibal, but because he is providing us with the means to have access to him. By his word, he says, "This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you." And this he gives and this he sheds for the forgiveness of sins, so that we can then come into our Lord's presence and live. You know, we don't have to draw back from God's presence as if being fearful. Because with a true heart and the assurance of faith, God draws us near to him. I mean, think of it. The Lord of heaven and earth, the God who dwells in light unapproachable, draws near to us and then invites us to step into his presence. Sin, if it had its way, would drive us from God's presence and would cause us, just like our first parents, Adam and Eve, to foolishly try to hide from God. But God atoned for that sin. And he did it by the blood of his son. And by means of that blood, God then forgives our sins. He makes us his children. And then he invites us into his life-giving presence. In fact, it's God himself, who qualifies us to come into his presence. What does that mean? That he qualifies us. How are we qualified? We are qualified by laying hold in faith to the gifts that God has bestowed on us in such simple gifts like baptism, in such simple gifts like the Lord's Supper. Listen again to verse 22 of our text this evening. He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Our Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross to atone for our sins. The blood that he shed for us is given to us in his supper in order to purify us from sin and to also give us peace with God. But it's in baptism where we are joined to Jesus' death and we are endowed with the Holy Spirit. So each in its own way, both the blood and the water, the Lord's Supper and holy baptism, both of them are the grounds for our boldness to stand before God and live. For he is our high priest. He is our Lord. And he is the one who has opened the way into God's presence for sinners. Sinners like you. Sinners like me. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth and he is the life. And he tells us that no one comes to the Father but by him. So by his death on the cross, we know that he has delivered us from sin. And we know this by faith. And by his gospel, by his baptism, and by his supper, he delivers the forgiveness of sins to us. Washed with his baptism and sprinkled with his blood. Well, that's what gives us access. Access to God our Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.